Welcome to the January 2019 session of the International Low Vision Support Group. I'm Dan Roberts, and our presentation this month is Our Ears Deserve More Respect. We've heard that most of our sensory input is through our eyes, with our ears following closely in second place. As we lose our vision, our hearing is quite capable of taking on more responsibility. In fact, our ears are nearly as important to our vision as are our eyes, but they seldom get the attention and respect they deserve. Maybe that's because they've been relegated to the sides of our heads, often concealed and sculpted into some rather amusing shapes. Whatever the reason, it's time we gave them the credit they deserve. Everything is better understood when it's heard as well as seen. It is, for example, easier to know people by hearing their voices. And it's not just the sound of the voice that informs. Even the rhythm of their footsteps reveals age and variations of mood, elation, depression, anger, joy. Most people even have the ability to enter a crowded room and, just by listening, know immediately the mood, pace, and direction of the group assembled. Hearing and vision are often interdependent. A phenomenon known as the McGurk effect illustrates this. In 1976, researchers Harry McGurk and John McDonald filmed a man articulating the consonant V, as in Victor, and then dubbed the audio from that film onto another film of the same man articulating the consonant B, as in boy. It turns out that it's nearly impossible to hear the original consonant while viewing the dubbed video. Everything that moves makes a sound, so all sounds are witnesses to events. If touch is the most personal of senses, then hearing, which is a sort of touching at a distance, is the most social of the senses. Consider how much easier it is to determine a person's mood by hearing the tone of his voice. How can we catch subtleties of meaning without hearing the accentuations in his speech? For example, if I were to welcome you to the meeting by saying, "I see you brought a friend. I appreciate your attendance," you would both be pleased. But if I were to say, "I see that you brought a friend. I appreciate your attendance," it takes on a whole different meaning. Wars have probably begun over such misspeaks. Hearing is also the watchdog sense. Sounds warn us of happenings. Even as we sleep, our brains are alerted by certain key sounds. A mother wakes at the whimper of her baby. The average person is quickly roused by the sound of his own name. So our hearing is our analyzer, watchdog, stimulator, and arouser. But it can also soothe and comfort. The snapping of logs in the fireplace, the whisper of a broom, the wheeze of a drawer opening, those are all comforting sounds. In a well-loved home, every chair produces a different, recognizable creak, every window a different click, groan, or squeak. Most people would be surprised to discover how much the sense of hearing can be cultivated. A student of mine, blind since birth, strolled around the rooms and stairs of the school on her first visit. I asked her how she could do that so confidently, and she replied, "I can hear the space." Sound engineers call it ambience. The impression we all get in some degree from sound waves bouncing off walls, trees, even people. A blind person uses a tapping cane that produces a distinct, consistent sound to analyze his environment. The metal noisemaker called a cricket is equally effective. Animals, and now some humans, also use this trick called echolocation. Bats, for example, emit a very high-pitched sound and pick up echoes from any obstacle. Some humans are now learning how to use tongue clicking for the same purpose. How do our ears make hearing possible? The inner operating parts of the human ear occupy less than a cubic inch into which are packed tens of thousands of component parts. When the eardrums vibrate in response to sound waves, the tiny piston-like stirrup bones of the middle ear amplify the vibrations. This motion is passed along to the snail-like chamber of the inner ear, which is filled with liquid and contains some 30,000 tiny hair cells called cilia. These fibers are made to bend, depending on the frequency of the vibration. Shorter strands respond to higher frequencies, longer strands to lower frequencies. This movement is translated into nerve impulses and sent to the brain, which then interprets and identifies what we hear. With good genes and good care, this system can work efficiently 24 hours a day for as long as a century. When our ears were new, they could hear from 20 to 20,000 vibrations per second. And they could distinguish from 300,000 to 400,000 variations of tone and intensity. That's plenty for what most of us need in order to operate. And even when the average person over age 50 loses the upper range past 12,000, we still do quite well. We may not be able to hear some birds chirping, but most human conversation is carried on at only about 260 vibrations per second. The loudest sound the ear can tolerate is a trillion times more intense than the faintest sound they can pick up, like the dropping of a pin. One remarkable quality of the human ear is its ability to pick out a specific sound or voice from a surrounding welter of sound and to locate its position. Any experienced musical conductor, for example, can locate that one out-of-tune voice, or find that one trumpet player who forgot to remove his mute. The ability to zero in on a particular sound is due to the fact that we have two ears. A sound to one side of us reaches one ear about 1/1,000,000th of a second before it reaches the other. That tiny time lag is unconsciously perceived and allows us to localize the object in the direction of the ear first stimulated. If you turn your head until the sound strikes both ears at once, the source is directly ahead. Just as we don't actually see with our eyes, we also don't hear with our ears. Our eyes and ears are simply the structures through which sights and sounds are trapped and then delivered to our brains for interpretation. Normally, what we see goes only to our visual cortex. What we hear goes to our auditory cortex, but it often ends up in our visual cortex as well. The sounds of a wave breaking on the shore, a train sounding its horn, a dog barking, all bring pictures to mind. And this, it turns out, is a facility that can bring vision to even those with no eyesight. All of this having been said, however, we can be fooled in the absence of eyesight. We find it difficult to distinguish between sounds without seeing the source. Is that a crackling fire or raindrops? Was that a firecracker or a popping balloon? Is that a girl or a boy calling my name? Unfortunately, without eyesight, we sometimes still need to call upon other sensory cues, common sense, or just good detective work. Let's look at a collection from various sources of random tidbits about ears. Our ears help with taste. Not to say that we can really taste food with our ears, but they do have a function in transmitting taste signals to our brains. A division of nerves called the chorda tympani just happen to run throughout the middle ear as it connects the buds on the face of the tongue to the brain. Because of this, ear disease or surgery can potentially affect our ability to recognize flavor. Another thing, the human eardrum is smaller than 0.7 inch in diameter, and it moves back and forth less than 1/1,000,000,000th of an inch while hearing. Our ears never, ever stop working, even when we're sound asleep. The ear continues to be capable of hearing sounds, but the brain just shuts them off until something interesting comes along. No one knows how the brain tells the difference between high-pitched and low-pitched sounds, or between noisy and subtle sounds. I guess they're still working on that. Our ears do more than just collect sounds. They also give us our sense of equilibrium, or balance. That's why we have fluid in our inner ear. If it dries up or gets misdirected, we find it difficult or impossible to walk or stand. Ears are self-cleaners. Pores in the ear canal create earwax, and the cilia, those hairs, move the wax out of the ear, carrying dirt and debris with it. The ear canal skin is continually growing and shedding at a rate of 1.3 inches each year. The most common cause of hearing loss is exposure to extremely loud sounds, such as 85 decibels or higher. Sitting in close proximity to speakers at a loud concert can start to injure hearing in only about 30 seconds, and the harm is irreversible. Secondhand smoke from tobacco increases the danger of central ear infections and allergies in children. Our hearing mechanism contains the three smallest bones found in the human body. These bones, called ossicles, aid with sound transmission from the air to the back of the brain. Ear lobes are interesting. Scientists aren't really sure why we have those, but some think it may help with blood flow. Whatever the reason, they do make handy places to hang decorations, don't they? Earlobes grow continually at about 22 hundredths of a millimeter per year. This happens to both men and women, and it's caused simply by the sag effects of gravity. In spite of myths to the contrary, whether earlobes are attached or detached makes no difference in a person's character. It's just a DNA thing. Our ears pop with sudden changes in air pressure. This occurs when the eustachian tube connected to the nasal passage can't keep up with its job of resupplying air to the middle ear. Swallowing and yawning can help to equalize the pressure again by pushing air into the eustachian tube. Audible technology is making dependence upon eyesight less important and turning over most of the job to our ears. Developments that are proving helpful to blind or low vision people are audiobooks, descriptive movies and plays, talking devices such as currency and color identifiers. There's text-to-speech software for reading machines and talking computers, geographical positioning systems, or GPS, and indoor navigation technology are now being used, and artificial intelligence, or AI, software is on the horizon. All of this assistive technology can be found on the MD Support website at www.mdsupport.org/home/resources. 35% of people with hearing loss are older than 64. This is significantly higher than the prevalence of age-related macular degeneration in that age group. In the event that they become part of the 14% who need to use their ears to see, senior adults should be as diligent about maintaining good hearing as they are about maintaining good eyesight. Here come some warning signs of impending hearing loss. A very common warning sign is buzzing or ringing in your ears. If it becomes louder and more frequent, that means the nerves in your ear have been damaged, either by age or environmental stress. We can't do much about aging, but we can try to protect ourselves from loud sounds. A good way to do this is to invest in over-the-ear noise-canceling headphones. These devices electronically reduce background noise, allowing you to hear conversation or music at normal levels. Loss of balance or clumsiness could be another sign of hearing loss. You might be expending so much effort trying to hear that simple things like balance get less of your brain's attention. Remember, it's the duty of our inner ear canals to send signals to our brains to help with balance, so damage to them may make you a bit off kilter. Another warning sign could be that you're becoming more forgetful. Much of memory is based upon what we hear, so if your hearing diminishes, so might your memory. When hearing is impaired, the brain may devote extra energy to processing sound at the expense of memory and thinking. A fourth warning sign could be that loud noises are becoming painful for you, somewhere between sharp shooting pain and a dull ache. As you lose your hearing, your ear is less able to dampen loud noises, which may cause your ears to hurt. And finally, if you find yourself constantly saying, "What?" and you can't blame it on loud chatter or poor acoustics, it could be one of the early signs of hearing loss in the upper frequencies. This is a part of aging, but it can be assisted with hearing aids. If you're noticing any of these warning signs, it would be a good idea to consult a hearing specialist. He or she will probably have ways of improving your hearing and also might have suggestions for avoiding further impairment. Here are some possible causes of hearing loss that might surprise you. Types 1 and 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol affect almost every cell in your body, including your ears. Vibrations from those tiny hair cells in your ears that send your brain messages about what you're hearing need proper blood flow. All of those hair cells are fed nutrients by tiny little capillaries. If there's any problem with blood flow, you're not going to get those hair cells to grow. Diabetics, for instance, are twice as likely to experience hearing loss than are the rest of the population. A hairdryer near your head could be putting out 85 or more decibels of noise. Remember, that's the point that the National Institutes of Health says could put you at risk for hearing loss. You'd probably have to dry your hair for 8 hours straight before it did any damage, but that loud part of your beauty regimen could add up over time. The more you use blow dryers and the longer you use them, the more likely you are to have damage over time. You can avoid the noise by learning the best ways to air dry your hair. Other noisy appliances like blenders and coffee grinders could do damage to your ears over time. The racket from lawnmowers, jackhammers, drills, and other power tools are also a risk for hearing damage. The best way to protect your ears from such abuse is with disposable earplugs, which can be purchased inexpensively at any drugstore. It's important, however, to replace them often in order to avoid bacterial contamination of your ear canals. Skipping your annual checkup could be causing you hearing loss, simply because you're missing the chance to treat an easily treatable condition like wax buildup, allergies, or a sinus infection. Your doctor could readily identify and correct such problems, so don't neglect those yearly visits. Hearing loss could also be a side effect of your medication. Some diuretics for heart disease, chemotherapies, and antibiotics could damage your ears. Getting better is probably your first priority, but it's worth talking to your doctor about whether the dose is too high. High doses of any medication can be dangerous, and hearing loss would be a good first sign. Even pain relievers you get over-the-counter, like aspirin and ibuprofen, could do damage in high amounts. Any hearing loss or ringing of the ears from them is usually temporary, but the side effects are sometimes permanent. Stick to recommended dosages, and you shouldn't have to worry about hearing loss. High fever can damage hearing. Prolonged elevated temperature can damage the nerves in your inner ear, either because of inflammation or lack of oxygen. To summarize, vision and hearing are our two most valuable senses. Loss of either one of them can be traumatic, but they can substitute for one another to help us maintain our independence and daily living functions. If, however, sight and sound are both diminished, our sensory life becomes acutely more difficult. Our challenge is to guard our eyes and ears against abuse and neglect by learning how to treat them like the treasures they are. Hopefully, this presentation brings awareness of the nearly equal contributions of the visual and aural senses. The visual sense is understandably the most favored, but the aural sense is no less important to our experience. We must not take it for granted. Many of us affected by progressive visual impairment are finding it to be our safety chute, and we hope we have been and will continue to be diligent in its care.